Good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
Yes, those on Zoom as well, please say good morning. Maybe it's raining a little, but it's warm, so we're not going to complain. Good announcements. Yesterday was Dave Watson's 80th birthday, so we want to congratulate him for that. And I know he's celebrating today with family. Also, the newsletter is out, and it's available. You can get it downstairs, hard copy. Also, Laura sent out with her message a link to it, and it will be on our website. Thanks so much to those that worked so hard to put out that newsletter. Thank you to everyone that has supported Aluco by bringing in backpacks and school supplies. They will be put to good use. If you would like to continue supporting Aluco, the 31st Walk and Roll for Families is on September the 27th. Speak to Judy White or Frida to sign up to participate or to sponsor someone. Everyone is welcome to join us downstairs after the service for a potluck lunch as we wrap up our shared summer services. We will return to our normal worship service time and locations for the service on September 6th. Zoom will be at 9:30 a.m. And it will be with the Roundtree Church. And Dundas Street Center is at 11 a.m. The Fall Fling is on Saturday, September 12th. Donations for our yard sale and bake sale are needed, as well as volunteers. Please sign up on the fundraising bulletin board for a volunteer time slot. Don't forget to invite your family, friends, and neighbors to attend. As a church, we are called to pray for each other and our mission in the world. This week, we pray for St. Andrew's United Church in Chatham.
I would invite you to join with me as we share in our greeting and our acknowledgement of the territories. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Since time immemorial, Indigenous peoples have occupied and cared for this land, the country we know as Canada. From coast to coast to coast, Indigenous peoples have lived and journeyed on this land, weaving their identity and their spirituality intimately with the land. We acknowledge and give thanks to the land on which we live and work, and to the people who have cared for it. As settlers, we acknowledge this area as the traditional home of the Anishinaabe, the Ojibwe or Chippewa Nation, the Haudenosaunee, the Iroquois, and the Oneida Nation, the Lenapawak, the Delaware people, the Attawandaron, the Neutral Nation, or Algonquin people, and the Wendat, the Huron people, who loved and cared for this land. Thanks to the stewards of the land who came before us, and being able to reflect the meaning of treaties made is an honor. With a spirit of reconciliation, we must commit to learning more about Indigenous communities and sharing our learnings with our children, our families, and with our communities. As a community of faith, we seek to rebuild right relations with the First Nations, Métis, and Inuit peoples to learn from them and to live on this land, their land, with respect and gratitude for its creation and creator. This is our commitment. We pray for the Holy Spirit to breathe healing, justice, hope, and compassion into all our relations.
Jesus called some unlikely fisher folk and an ostracized tax collector to follow him. In the same manner, Jesus called a surprised woman to draw water for him, and then she became a disciple. Today, Jesus is calling us to be light in a shadowed world. We light this candle as a reminder that we are people of the way of Jesus.
Let us sing together our centering hymn, Come In and Sit Down, from Voices United, number 365. And we're singing verses 1 to 4. Let us share in our call to worship. God calls us.
We gather in response to the invitation.
Christ leads us.
We follow united in love and purpose.
The Holy Spirit empowers us.
We grow in faith and be ready to answer God's call with boldness.
As we worship together this morning,
God is here. Let us give thanks.
Let us pray. God, you are for us in all of our comings and goings, our drawing near and turning away, our accidents and mistakes, our best intentions and our gone arise. God, you are here for us. Draw nearer to us still in times of darkness, when we forget to pray, when we forget our manners, when we forget our very selves and act as unknown, inconsequential individuals. Draw nearer to us still. Help us to reimagine ourselves in your image, strong in your hope for us, redeemed in your forgiveness of us, released by your mercy on us. Reconcile us to your radical love and set us free from the burdens of our own or others' making. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. A burning bush. At one time, I thought I would like a burning bush shrub in my yard. They're beautiful, aren't they? Love that wonderful red color that they come into in the fall. But then I learned a little more about it. Did you know that they are not native to North America? Does anybody have a burning bush in their yards at home? Yeah. There's some in our neighborhood. I know. I love seeing them. Did you know that they are also banned in some places? And you can't buy them. It's like periwinkle. I have periwinkle in my flower bed. And actually at the back of my house underneath the trees, that it kind of, it's nice ground cover. It's filled in there a lot. And I thought I might like to get some more of that to plant in my side garden. But you can't buy it anymore either. Why? Because it's not native and it's invasive. It takes over. Well, I have a dog that keeps mine in check, so it's not going anywhere. But it's a beautiful, beautiful shrub. Now, they did offer some alternatives for shrubbery that you could get, but frankly, none of them compare to the color. But just like the periwinkle, these things are invasive and they easily spread. And then they can take over an area of vegetation. And the result is it harms the ecosystem. So they get berries on them that the birds like. And somebody actually said, they're not all that nutritional for the birds. But anyway, the birds like them. And of course, the birds fly away and do their thing with their digestive system. And there are seeds that get all over. And if they get into, a field or another vegetated area with smaller trees or whatever, these things will take over. And that's why you probably can't buy one anymore. But I still like its vibrant color. And I still admire them when I see them. But I did heed the message about planting one in my yard. I have a purple plum tree, I guess, that will have to do for the color. Although I'm still thinking about getting a red maple, putting that right out in the middle of my backyard so the guys, when they're cutting the lawn, will have something to cuss about. Moses encountered God in a burning bush. Now, it wasn't like that. But this bush was burning, but it wasn't consumed by the fire. Now, can you imagine seeing something like that? What your reaction would be if you were to see something that was on fire but was not being consumed by the fire? Well, it sure got Moses' attention because, you know, he came upon it and looked back and, wow, that bush is on fire and it's not being consumed. God spoke to Moses out of the burning bush. That's kind of a wake-up call that you wouldn't want to ignore. Now, it's not something that you or I would see every day. But if you did, I think you would sit up and pay attention. Or you might ignore it. You might ignore it and walk by because you'd be a little afraid of what that's all about. But you'd have a choice. Moses chose to listen to God's voice. God calls us to many varied and interesting things, ways, and sometimes it might be a mighty roar, and sometimes it's that still, small voice. And sometimes it could be a burning bush. But each time God calls us out of love and grace. So let us pray together. Dear God, help us to listen and look for God's call. Help us to be brave enough to answer. May we each be blessed with a sense of God's direction. And may we always remember God's gift of love and grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, out of the burning bush into the hymn from Voices United, number 595, the servant song, We Are Pilgrims. Creator God, as we tune in to your presence this morning, We are aware of our need to drink deeply of your wisdom and your grace. The news of today's world is often unsettling. Times in our own country are unsettled. Words and images disturb us. We need a message of hope. Thank you that in the midst of the struggle of human life, you are there, ready to refresh and renew us with an infusion of your life-giving, life-nourishing spirit. Amen.
The scripture reading is from Exodus 3, 1 to 15. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire, out of a burning bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Come no closer, remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. He said further, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. Now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? God said, I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this very mountain. But Moses said to God, If I come to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your ancestors has sent me to you. And they ask me, What is the name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. He said further, Thus you will say to the Israelites, I am have sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Thus you shall say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my title for all generations. The second reading this morning is from Matthew 16, verses 21 to 28. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, if any wish to come after me, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly, I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom.
We have heard the word of God for God's people. May we also hear what the Spirit is saying to us today.
Thank you.
Beautiful. I were to say to you, what a difference a week can make. We have had a lot of extraordinary things happen during our last week. So maybe you could even say, what a difference a day could make. But it was a week or so ago that our reading included Peter's amazing and prophetic confession while answering Jesus' poignant question, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter declared confidently the messianic identity of Jesus by saying, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. Immediately, Jesus affirms his messiahship, and depending on your tradition, may commend Peter as the head of the church or give him the keys to the kingdom. Then, in an even more interesting gesture, Jesus sternly commands them not to tell anyone that he is the Messiah. I wasn't there. I'm sure none of you were there as well. But I can imagine that that scene was emotionally charged. Can you see it? Most of the disciples were not surprised at all by the boldness of Peter's confession. After all of them knew that Peter was audacious and spirited, almost to the point of being reckless. They are also unlikely to have been taken aback by what Peter said, as they had probably discussed the possibility of Jesus being the Messiah on a routine basis. But for Jesus to confirm and affirm that confession and finally admit that what they had seen in the lessons they had learned, in the very person whom they had followed, and wherewith at that time was the fulfillment of prophecy. Jesus was the Messiah. Well, that was a lot. And this is where the emotion and excitement creep in, maybe only allowing them to half-heartedly hear Jesus warning them not to tell anyone. However, that was in the past, at least in our scripture readings. And although our passage this week is a continuation of the same chapter, it literally begins a new story and undergoes a powerful shift in tone. Jesus, armed with Peter's confession, begins from that point, the text says, to predict his own death. Jesus, who had just asked, who do people say that I am? Who do you say I am? Is now sharing that it is necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and suffer at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, and the religious leaders. He tells them that he will be killed, but on the third day he will be raised from the dead. Now talk about that being a real downer, a killjoy, an emotional roller coaster for those disciples. This is in no way what they had expected. I mean, he had just admitted to being the Messiah, the Christ. They knew the prophecy. The Messiah was to come and rescue them from oppression. They had learned about Jewish history in school and were familiar with former Messiah-like figures. They knew the story of the Maccabean resistance initiated by Matthias against Antiochus IV, as well as the movements of both Judas the Galilean and Zadok the Pharisee. They were looking for someone to lead them in the fight, not someone who was ready to die. Have you ever been there in a situation or a circumstance in which you have an expectation of what God will and should do and be in your life, and God decides in an act of divine sovereignty to do something totally different. You are primed to celebrate God's expected next move in your life, yet it plays out differently than you anticipated. Peter confesses this messianic identity of Jesus. Jesus confirmed Peter's confession. The disciples must have been anticipating and forecasting how their status would change for the better, being connected to the one and only Christ. But now, Jesus is talking about dying. The tension and disappointment in the text, as well as in our own lives, is enough to make you want to go contrary to what God has said. In fact, Peter, as Peter always does, speaks up and renounces the idea of the impending death of Christ. In fact, Peter becomes indignant at the thought and tells Jesus that it would never happen as long as he was around. Jesus' response is one of the most recognized, powerful, profound, and yet confusing lines in the Bible. Jesus looks at Peter after hearing his thoughts of protecting him and says, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind of the things of God, but on human things." Now, this rebuke has baffled many of us because of the starkness of what Jesus said and to whom he said it. But if we demystify the word Satan, it was not to insinuate that Peter was dressed in red, had horns, or sported a pointy tail. However, in this context, it means being an adversary to God's will. Jesus had just proclaimed God's will and purpose for his life, and Peter's interjection went against that. So Jesus rebuked him, starkly. Still, the fact that it was Peter who received such pointed words is very interesting. For it was Peter who, because of his confession, was given the keys to the kingdom. Perhaps this speaks to Christ's depth of commitment to God's will, as well as to the high cost of being Christ's disciple. I've heard it said that salvation is free, but it will cost you everything. Jesus alludes to this in the following verses, for Jesus shares that to be his disciple, one must deny oneself. Western Christianity, which is built in many cases on the pillars of capitalism, white supremacy, patriarchy, and heteronormality, has a difficult task in grasping the idea of self-denial, especially when Jesus says, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it, but if you give it to us, you will gain it. That simple truth of what discipleship truly is, in many ways, acts as a mirror that reveals the grotesque anti-Christian image of what the church, in some cases, has become. But Christ doesn't let go. He asks with power and profanity, "What do you gain if you have the whole world but lose your soul?" Maybe this is what needs to be asked in the halls of the power in all nations, in places where oligarchical mindsets and missions are unfairly pillaging the world's economies, closely aligned with those who do claim Christ as Lord. But they are not the self-sacrificing Christ who predicts death, but they're more of a John Wayne or a John Wick Christ that shoots his way to sovereignty. No, Jesus offers the challenge of true discipleship. And it seems that Dietrich Bonhoeffer was onto something when he said these words. When Christ calls you, he bids you to come and die. So what are we to do? The choice is ours to make. May we go forth and do so. Amen and amen. We sing together the hymn, Three Things I Promise, from More Voices 176. Three Things I Promise. We come to God once more in prayer. So let us be still before God in the quiet of this moment, and let us bring our prayers, our gratitude, our questions, and our hopes to the one who knows us completely and loves us without end. Let us pray. Living God, we thank you for your faithful presence through every season of our lives. You continue to call us, guide us, and patiently shape us into the people you created us to be. When the voices around us become louder than your voice, draw us back to you. When fear weakens our trust, renew our hope. When we lose our way, lead us again in the way of Christ. We pray for all who are living difficult questions, those waiting for healing, those seeking meaningful work, those navigating change, those caring for loved ones, those whose hearts are weary, and those who journey a path of grief. May your presence surround and sustain each one so that they may know your love and live. We pray for the places in our world where fear, division, and violence seem to have the loudest voice. Help your church to become another voice, a voice of welcome, of reconciliation, of justice, and of hope. Shape us day by day until our lives bear witness to the living Christ, whose question continues to call us deeper into faith. As we offer our prayers, may your Spirit move within us, helping us rediscover our true selves in you. Let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us respond in voice for the many blessings that we receive and that we give as well. So let us give. We're going to sing first. Before we do our prayer of dedication, we're going to sing Grateful for More Voices 182, and we're singing verse 2. us now offer our prayer of dedication. Ourselves, our actions, our words, our mission, and our souls, we dedicate them all to you, O God, as we answer your call. Bless us and our gifts for your service, that we may declare our faith by our cheerful giving back. Amen. So now, as we prepare to go out into the world, we'll sing together the hymn, God of Grace and God of Glory, from Voices United, number 686, God of Grace and God of Glory. Let us all go forth from this place, girded with wisdom and courage, and may God, our Creator, Christ, and Comforter, be with us this day and all of our days. Amen.